for this.
What is nothing?
Now that's deep.
What in the fuck are we doing here?
Free socks. What is something?
That's deep, bro. Welcome to That's Deep, Bro. Serious questions with silly people. I'm Christina Pajitsky, your host. And today we're doing the topic of rejection. What stand-up comedian doesn't know that one intimately? Oh my gosh. My guest today is Allison Rosen of Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend. Hello. Only like the coolest, most wonderful, sweetest person on the planet. And recently she's had to deal with some rejection. And we'll get into that in a bit, but first, some business. Guys, I know you love That's Deep, Bro. I know you do. I love you too. Please help support my show by using my Amazon banner. When you go to my website, thatsdeepbropodcast.com, you click on my Amazon banner when you do your shopping, and it kicks back some coin to the show. And listen, if you're not using Amazon, get your life, because there's no reason to leave your house. Right, Allison? Oh, shoot, your mic's not on.
I prefer not to leave my house.
Yeah.
Everything you want, you can get on Amazon.
Do you do Amazon Prime yet?
Do I ever? I don't know how people live without Amazon Prime. It's so money well spent.
It is money because you pay a flat rate and then all
especially
of
since
shipping.
I get it for free because my husband already had the account. So, yeah. It gets there so fast.
It's the best. And do you automate things like toilet paper in your home yet and paper towels and such?
I should.
Yeah.
I know I should, yeah. But
come
I don't.
On. Come on.
Alice. I went through a phase where I was eating this stuff called Miracle Rice, which is like low calorie. I don't know what it is. It's probably like some kind of translucent styrofoam product.
Yeah.
And I was eating that so often that I subscribed to that. And I think once I subscribed to coffee, and actually the problem with the Miracle Rice though, is that then I stopped eating it and I'm like, I have like 15,000 bags of this faux rice. I actually just threw some out recently. But anyway, I'm all about the Amazon stuff.
Guys. Yeah. And again, I implore you, use my banner, please. I'm a stand-up comedian. Go to thousandranch.com. That's thousandranch, my two favorite salad dressings together.com to see my live dates. I've added a bunch for 2015. Where am I going this year? 2015. I'm doing like Omaha. I'm doing Indianapolis. I'm doing Cincinnati, Washington, D.C., all those places and more. More is coming. So check that for 2015. Also, listen to your mom's house. I know you guys like to talk about real things here on this show, but then there's other real things like pooping and making fun of people's accents, really silly stuff. That's your mom's house. That's also free on iTunes. I do that with my husband, Tom Segura. And there you go. Okay. So here we go. This is it. We're going to do it. The topic of rejection. Oh man, fuck, I love this topic. I feel like I'm one with this one. I mean, I was goth for many years, so that's what you specialize in when you're goth.
Rejection
is being like, oh, the world doesn't nobody gets me.
I think I was goth on the inside and yet also I appear goth on the outside, but I never identified as goth.
Yeah,
just
you're
honorary. Sad.
Yeah. Okay, so in light of this, I'm going to play our little song, and then we'll get into it. Ready?
Yay.
Okay.
Yeah.
here we are. That was the great Morrissey. And, you know, for this topic in philosophy, Allison, I couldn't find anything specifically on rejection in and of itself. But I thought, why not turn to the great goth philosopher, the great poet known as Morrissey. And the song we played is I Don't Mind If You Forget Me. And there's a line in there that has been in my head since I was a teenager. And that is, rejection is one thing, but rejection from a fool is cruel. And I do feel like with rejection, yes, that's the central problem, right?
That, I feel like that kind of was perhaps the guiding principle throughout my entire dating life for many, many years, which is, I think that I threw myself at people that weren't... I sound like an asshole saying this. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to de-assholify it, but weren't worthy of me, perhaps.
There you go.
But so then when they didn't want me, it was like, what? I was doing you a favor. Which, again, please run this through the asshole filter and strip that away.
I was just talking to somebody about this last night. It's the rejections that come, especially in romantic relationships, from the dudes that were like, you were doing them a favor, man. And then you're like, fuck, what? Like, I'm better looking than you. I got better grades than you. Come on, man. I got a Chevy Nova. I got an 87 Chevy Nova.
You don't have a driver's license.
Yeah, motherfucker. I was dating this guy in college. Such a loser. Like, so hot, though. So hot. Did so many drugs.
They usually are.
Yeah. Oh, great lay. Just great. And he rejected me. Oh, is it too loud? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just like, sometimes I like to take one
you
ear
do
off
one meow?
Just to, yeah. That's
well, you're like
thing.
Tony. You're like Tony Braxton in the studio. Yeah. Oh, turn me up my headphones. But yeah, but I still to this day feel the sting of that one.
Yeah.
And romantic relationships. What the fuck?
I wonder, I know this is a philosophy podcast, but
no,
I wonder if you would find more about rejection in the field of psychology.
Yes.
To me, it's sort of about the human need to be, like, we're kind of pack animals, you know? So it's the need for validation and the need for approval and the need for acceptance. And rejection sort of cuts to the core of that, and it's like, oh, you're thrust out of the warmth, and you might be alone, you might defend for yourself, and
exactly.
You might die.
Exactly. And I found that in psychology. I'm glad you brought that
up.
Yes, the answer lies, it says, this is from, I found this on a salon.com article, but in psychology, it says, the answer lies in our evolutionary past. The answer of the question, why is it so important to be social? Humans are social animals. Being rejected from our tribe or social group in our pre-civilized past would have meant losing access to food, protection, and mating partners, making it extremely difficult to survive. Being ostracized would have been akin to receiving a death sentence. So that is basically, it's this primal thing of...
Don't leave me.
Don't leave me. How will I fend? How will I survive?
And if you don't like me, that means there's something wrong with me. And what if everyone won't like me or won't accept me? I mean, that was another thing always with dating or just with being young was I always felt that if I got rejected... That's about me. There's
always
something wrong with me. And I remember a therapist saying, if someone rejects you, that's about them. It's about, for whatever reason, they didn't, you know, feel like this was going to work. And it took me, at the beginning, like it did, I just heard the words, it didn't even make sense. It took me a while to realize that you can be totally fine and someone can still not want to date you. And that, you know, it's okay. Like some people don't like... Actually, Liz Winstead said this, so I don't want to take it as my own, but like, some people don't like chocolate. Some people don't like sex. Like,
yes.
These are things that are perfectly fine. Most people like them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's going to like them, though. And
right.
That's okay.
There's people that don't like pizza.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? There's people that don't want to be with together people. I was talking to a guy last night at the Comedy Store about this, how he's seeing this really dysfunctional girl. It's terrible, but it makes his schmeckle hard. That's the problem, is that it makes your dick hard. So then, no, what was he supposed to do? Ignore that primal thing of like, you ruining me feels great. I'm going to keep coming back to that.
And that's like glue.
I know.
I mean,
that's chemistry.
That whole thing is so addictive. Yeah. In the chemistry aspect of, so, you know, there's rejection in career situations, which I think we'll likely talk about.
We might
get into it. But in love relationships, there's that whole X factor of the chemistry.
Yes.
And that is something that's so out of your control.
Yeah.
And I don't like it being so out of your control.
I don't like it either. And it's interesting. In the words, I looked up these quotes, the great philosopher poet Jenny Garth.
Oh,
are you familiar with
her work? from that tome 90210?
One of my favorite textbook shows. Yeah, one of my favorite shows on the planet, Beverly Hills 90210 from the 90s. I watched every episode, and I'm not joking. It was one of those shows that I love to hate.
Brenda had incandescent hair or eyes.
But she smoked pot, remember? Brenda, she was a bad girl. I liked her. So this is from Jenny Garth, and I was so shocked to read words of hers and be like, hey, man, that's deep, bro. Jenny says, I think with any sort of rejection, you're angry that you weren't enough for that person.
That resonates with me. Wow.
How did Jenny Garth get
so deep? I know.
How the fuck? That probably sums it up.
Yes.
More than any other shit I read on psychology. I mean,
well, that's because it's such a shitty feeling to feel like it. I guess I'm not effective as a human being, not enough to keep this thing going.
Right.
And you feel so small.
Yeah.
Which is not a good feeling.
No. And I think that there are gradations of rejection. I was thinking about...
Quick question. Do you know what she was talking about? What she talking about?
I think relationships. That sounds to me like a romantic rejection, right? Mm-hmm. What'd you say? But actually, I find that to be the core of all of it.
Yeah.
Professionally, romantically, whatever the fuckly, that's the essence. Is the fear is, I'm not good enough. Like you said...
And I'm replaceable.
Right.
I'm not special. I'm not who I want to think I am.
Right. Which you still are. But you are those things. You are special. You are fantastic. By the way, holy shit, I didn't... First of all, back that ass up. I meant to say this at the top. For those of you who don't know who I'm speaking with, I'm so sorry, Allison.
Oh, that's
I'm like,
okay.
I slept like 2 hours last night. So
that's okay. Everyone knows who I am. That's okay.
I know. I'm like, I can't believe I didn't do you proper. I did assume because I'm like, oh, we're friends. So surely everybody knows everything about you. So Allison Rosen is sitting in front of me. And Allison is one of the most unique human beings I know in showbiz. I mean, like, I can't believe you're in showbiz and I adore you. And the reason being, you have a show called Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend. It's
which
a podcast.
Which you have been on twice.
Which I've been on twice, yes. And what's so unique and shocking and wonderful about you is that you're a complete person. And you're vulnerable. And I find that in today's society, vulnerability, it's not privileged nearly enough because it's considered to be...
A weakness.
A beta trait. Whereas the alphas, the loud talkers of the world, tend to get all the attention and the accolades. It's people like you who have the courage to be vulnerable and to share the truth and to share the ugly parts of themselves that are the real courageous people of the world, the heroes. Yeah. So thank you for having that show, because I think what your show does is make people go, wow, maybe I am normal. Maybe compared to so-and-so, I don't feel like such a freak.
Well, I do think that we all walk around feeling like, oh, if I were just more, if I hadn't said it that way, if I were smoother, if I were more confident, if I were this, if I were that, then things would be going okay, you know, going better for me. And also, everyone else is all those things, but I'm this like insecure mess that's pretending to be I mean, I might be overstating it, but everyone thinks that their foibles are their own and everyone else has it made. And I think that that is total BS. I think that everyone is a lot more similar than we ever know. And I mean, that's kind of one of the crazy sad truths of human existence, is that we are all such separate beings who never really, you can never really be inside someone else's head.
But ironically, we kind of are, because we all share with pot. Yeah. And isn't that, it was funny. I was talking to Paul Gilmartin, who does the
I love him.
I love him too. He's going to be on the show.
He's
too.
Another, I feel like he's like very courageous
and
doing such a good, helpful service. Yeah. He's amazing.
Talk about vulnerability and courage on that show. The Mental Illness Podcast, for those who don't know.
Mental Illness Happy Hour.
Happy Hour, sorry. Yeah. Mentalpod.com, I think, is his.
Yes.
And what's your site?
Oh, I'm AllisonRosen.com.
Allison Rosen, 1L.
Yes.
R-O-S-E-N. He covers everything. PTSD, rape, incest, all the ooky parts of life that we don't talk about. And which is kind of why I love your show and who you are, too, because actually all the ooky, weird parts of life are the majority of existence, and you don't see that represented on television. There's no show where people...
It talks about the pleasure of picking a scab off your scalp and pulling it through the hair.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's so good.
Oh, or pulling a long hair out of your butt crack.
Yes.
Ugh.
That's more relief than pure exhilaration of head scab picking.
Head scabbing.
But not just bodily stuff. Also weird mental stuff.
Lots
just weird
of weird
feelings.
And I think that humans...
Weird common feelings.
Yeah, and you're taught to do your affirmations and to get into therapy and some maybe the promise of one day never having those ooky thoughts or feelings or coping with them better, but they don't go away, do they?
I think you can change your behavior. I don't know how much you can change your thoughts.
Mm.
That's sort of a depressing notion.
Mm.
I think you can to a degree, but my experience in therapy and self-improvement at least has been learning how to react differently.
Yes.
But... the triggers and all the stuff that made you perhaps react in a not healthy way before, that all is still there. It's just not as powerful.
Yeah, you kind of learn what your wiring is. You can step back and look at yourself on a meta level and go, oh, that's what that is. There goes that thing in me.
Right.
Ah, shit. There goes that. Don't like that. Let's try to not harm or hurt other people as I'm dealing and reeling in my own stuff.
Rejection used to be a very, very... painful thing for me. And it's not like I love it now, but it was probably one of the most painful things I experienced at a young age. I realize it sounds like I'm setting this up for a very dramatic story, and I'm not. It's just when I was a kid and my parents would go out, I would freak out. And I don't know why, but my dad had this watch that he would put on when they were getting ready to go out, when they were dressed up. He had two different watches. One was his everyday watch and his other was his like special occasion watch. And when I would see him put on that watch, I would just begin to like just have a little meltdown. I mean, I was like two or three. I don't know why. I don't know why I was so fundamentally not okay with. I don't know why I was always so afraid of being abandoned. I think maybe I have had very overprotective parents. And I think that they weren't intentionally sending me this message, but I think I just picked up on this sort of the anxiety in the house, but also this feeling that they're the only ones who can keep me safe, perhaps.
Which was actually true because you were a child and you were dependent on these people. And maybe on some level you didn't feel like they were capable of caring enough or
maybe
who knows.
Yeah. But so rejection was always rejection and abandonment were always incredibly threatening for me. And I also think that rejection was somewhat of a blind spot for me in that I would see it in relationships. I would see it where it wasn't, and I wouldn't see it until it was too late. Oftentimes, I just couldn't. It was such a hot button issue for me. I couldn't perceive it correctly. And yet, you know, now present day, I just got fired from the Adam Carolla show, which is a rejection. And in fact, that's the part of it that that stings is the rejection. But I'm really remarkably okay with it. I don't love it, you know, but I'm really doing okay. And I don't know that that would have been the case some years ago. So
yes.
I think that's growth on my part. Like, it's a bummer to lose this job and this thing that I had every, you know, 5 days a week for 4 years. It's weird that suddenly it's gone, but in terms of who I am as a person, that's not in question.
Yes.
Which thank God.
Oh gosh, that's a huge distinction.
Yeah.
For those of you listening who don't understand what she's saying, because for many years I didn't. It's not that I'm judging I got kicked off didn't make it on Last Comic Standing a few years ago, right? And the rejection of that sent me into a spiral the next morning in the shower of, you didn't get that. Well, you must not be very good at comedy. You must not be a good comedian. Therefore, you must not be a good person.
You're
bad.
Probably a fraud. Did you
yes,
feel like a fraud?
Of course.
Because I always go there.
Of course. It goes to your fraud. And then it goes to the most harmful attack. You're not a good person. See, I knew you were bad.
Like if you're
you
a good
bad.
Person, you'll be rewarded by the universe. And this is a sign that you're not.
Right. And if rejection is somehow a sign, it validates the worst part in you. I must be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
They were right. I'm right. I'm a piece of shit. But for you to have that distinction of, hey, this thing can happen, but myself is intact. My sense of self.
Right.
That's massive.
It's weird. I don't know how I emerged with that, but I'm happy I did.
Me too. Well, so let's start there. I mean, look, there are gradations of rejection. There's, I'm a stand-up comedian, so every night I get rejected on a joke, a new thing here or there. There's getting rejected from a club. Maybe they don't want you there. Maybe you don't get the part. those are things that I've over the years developed a bit of more of an immunity to. You just go, it's not me. This is beyond me.
I still have trouble with audition rejections.
Oh, it's the worst.
It depends. But when I find out that I didn't get something I auditioned for, instead of feeling like, oh, maybe I was close, you know, but they saw a ton of people and they just found one that was perfectly right for them, I feel like when I went in there and did my whatever I did, they were probably laughing at me. That's how much I was not good. How ridiculously horrendous I am. I haven't had that feeling in a while, but that's the feeling I used to have.
Yeah.
Did you ever have that?
Yeah, that I was so horrible that surely I went in the file of the worst auditioners ever.
Like embarrassing. Like when you, well, see, the thing is though, with an audition, you feel like very exposed. I mean, depending on what the audition's for. I was going for nude roles, so I'm just kidding. you feel exposed.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they saw that and they didn't want it. And that's a shitty feeling.
It is a shitty feeling. And then you realize that this business is made up of a lot of nutbags. There's egos, there's narcissists, there's stuff behind the scenes, there's manipulations and machinations that you have no idea about. That's right. So, and you start to see the matrix and you start to go, wait a minute, that guy got that job. Well, who's he represented by? Oh, and who's the production company? Oh, it's all rigged. And
that's the game.
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
It's money and it's shit that doesn't have to do with your talent.
Right.
And the sooner I learn that in this business, the less I can separate my talent from what I do from the business. Fuck all that. But here's the thing. I was fired too. I've been fired a few times. I was fired from Chelsea lately in 2011 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, man, it took me at least 2 years to really process it. And fired is one of the hardest things fired from a job that I actually tried at. That was the bummer of Chelsea getting fired from that show. And I think the rejection part is, it's also in the means. Have you ever been rejected by somebody and the way they've told you was so real? Like one time I had a club owner just go, hey, look, I don't know you, I'm not gonna book you. And I went, okay, I get that.
Yes, that's okay. Okay kind of rejection.
You kind of are thankful
because it's about him.
Right.
He told you. It has nothing to do with you.
And he told you the truth. Yeah. But when I got fired from Chelsea, it was a lot of, you know, we have your voice already on the show. And why don't you just tell me? Just say something like, you know what, Chelsea doesn't like you. And I go, oh, but instead they give you the hand jobbing. And I think it's the hand jobbing that makes it worse because then it plays mind games.
The reason the hand jobbing makes it worse, I think, is because you know that's not the truth. And so it makes you have to try to figure out what is the truth. Wait, can I ask you a question, though? You said that if she had just said Chelsea doesn't like you, that would have been okay.
Yep.
I'm curious about that because for me, I mean, unless you were like, I don't need to be the kind of person that Chelsea likes.
Yeah, I don't need to be the kind of person that anybody likes now. No.
Oh, I want to get to that point.
Oh. Well,
I think there's still a part of me that wants to be liked by everyone. I think that I think that that might be one of the more upsetting parts of this recent shit canning. Although, like I said, I really am doing quite okay. And I'm excited about the future. And I think I'm really in a, strangely enough, I'm in a better place. It was the right thing to happen, even though I'm still kind of mystified that it happened. And the whole thing is confusing and bewildering. I didn't see it coming. And I don't like the fact that I didn't see it coming because I feel like, how did I not see what was, it's that thing of wanting to know the truth and wanting to be in reality. And on the one hand, you can't know something that someone's not sharing with you, which is what was happening. But I like to think that I can pick up on things usually. And the thing is, I think I was picking up on things. I was feeling like, I was feeling sad. Well, I was, like I just felt this sort of emptiness in my, there was a 1 week where I woke up and every morning I felt this emptiness in my heart. And I chalked it up to the fact that my dog died, my dog that I was in love with, and he was very young and he died. It was a sudden, unexpected, tragic death. My husband and I were on our honeymoon. He was attacked by an off-leash dog and we had to come back and ended up having to put him down, and it was awful. And I've been having a lot of trouble getting past it because there's still so many questions, and that's a whole separate story. And I've talked about it a lot, so I don't mean to bring that into every podcast I do. And yet I feel like it's sort of integral to the whole story.
It's a big deal, dude.
It was a big deal for me.
It's a tough thing.
Yeah. So Yeah. So I was just like, weirdly enough, suddenly this must be the, I couldn't figure out why I was having this feeling. I figured maybe it has to do with Oliver. That was his name. Even though it seemed weird that suddenly there was a resurgence of Oliver processing, you know, suddenly months later. I suspect that wasn't what that really was. I think that I was picking up on weird job shit and I didn't know that that's what it was, but I think I was picking up on it because I remember a couple of years ago, for some reason, I was just suddenly depressed for a little while and I couldn't figure it out. And then I found out that my husband had been upset with me, but didn't know how to talk about it yet and was trying to figure out the way to bring it up. It was like a real small, low level kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But once we talked about it, I felt 1,000 times better and we worked through it. And I was like, oh, I think that's what was bringing me down. Like I'm calibrated in a very sensitive way. Mm-hmm. I pick up on everything, even if I'm not 100% aware of what I'm picking up on. So I think that I was picking up on something. I just didn't know. So I just assumed, oh, well, this sad thing happened in my life. It must be related to that. But I forget the whole train of thought
I think you're right. What you're saying to me, it sounds like you're going is that unconsciously, maybe you kind of knew, or maybe
I knew something wasn't all right. Fitting together anymore.
Because I do believe this in hindsight is a wonderful gift. And I do believe this with you is that all the times I've been fired and it was the right thing for me to be fired from, you'll look back in time and go, thank God I got fired.
Yeah.
Because on some level you didn't want to be there and somebody else picked up on that.
I guess it wasn't right. Like, in a way, I'm kind of resisting that because I don't want to think that I brought this on myself.
No, and I'm not saying that.
No, but
either.
I know what you mean. And I think you're right because obviously you can always play the game better.
Yeah.
You can
if you want.
Right. And that's been like the thing that's a learning experience for me from this is that I need to sort of that part of me that trusts that things are okay, allow, you know, lets things just kind of get into a lull. I need to keep that in check more the next time if I'm ever in a situation like this again, because I should have been checking in with him more to make sure things were okay. Even though I felt like they were, I was like, I've been doing this for 4 years. Everything feels okay. But, I know where I was going with that whole thing though, which is, at the end of the day, the fact that he just didn't like me enough to keep me around, that is a little bit painful. Mm. It's not as painful as I would think it would be, but I don't savor that aspect of it, you know?
The feeling that
he just didn't like, I guess he didn't like me enough.
You rejected, yeah, that it was a,
he didn't want to work with me.
You think it's a personal thing?
No. Well, in that it happened to me and I'm a person.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
No, I don't think that's why.
I don't think that's why. Yeah.
But he preferred not having me there than having me there.
Yeah.
Which is weird when I felt like my job was to make it easier for him to do the show. So it's
right.
Like.
Right. It's so. Isn't it? I remember the day I got fired from Chelsea, I thought everything was going good for me.
Yes.
That's the weird thing is the day before I'd done the round table and I was getting like back slaps from the higher ups and I was getting along with everybody. And then the next day I got fired. And I remember being walked to my car by the accounting girl because she has to collect the garage opener for me, you know? And I remember asking her, I'm sorry, can I have a moment to sit and cry in the stairwell? I can't get in my car. And I was just stunned and I cried and I cried. And then I went home and I was stunned and I just cried. I just walked around the Silver Lake Reservoir and just bewildered. Like, I think it's so shocking
and being you fired. You feel powerless.
Yeah. It's shocking. Yeah, and you're on the receiving end of this blow. It's like getting, right.
Well, so you didn't
punched.
See it coming at all either.
No.
My husband has this cause he, you know, works in a management position and at his job. And he's like, his feeling about firing is the job of a good manager is to keep the employee informed about their performance. So by the time there's the conversation comes up that, you know, can you come into my office? They're like, oh shit, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
But I don't think in entertainment it works that way.
No, and here's the thing with show business is that it's irrational. It's based on feelings. It's based on a lot of shit that doesn't make sense. So to try to make sense out of a show business firing, it's like,
yeah,
what?
Which is, and by the way, I should say this. Adam has every right to change his show. In no way do I feel like that's not okay. Like, of course he has every right to. It just was, we have different opinions about what a good show is, I guess. But then again, I also trust that he'll make the show he wants to make and it'll be good and he's good at what he does. That's fine. But yeah, I was surprised. How did they do it? How did they fire you? Who did it?
Oh, I got called into the EP's room, and then, yeah, the other producer was sitting there. And
what did you think you were going in there for?
This is the best. So here's the thing. I was there at the time I was supposed to start, like at 9 a.m. I was always early. I was always early because I was a newbie. And I was like, this is weird. Nobody else is at their desks, and usually everybody's ready to work. And I get called in, and then he sits me down. This is the best part. And he goes, so we're going to have to let you go. And I
just like that?
Just like, yeah. And I go, what? And I start laughing and I go, nuh-uh, are you being, like, I thought it was a practical joke and that someone, one of the staff was goofing on because it's a comedy show.
But plus in entertainment, in employment, I feel like that's a joke that gets made a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, like,
yeah. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I started laughing and he's like, no, really. And, you know, they gave me the company line of whatever we already have your voice on the show, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you just go, okay. And I just started to feel like I had settled in there and I picked up all my Gigi Allen bobblehead that was on my desk. You know, you pack up your shit and
did you feel pathetic as you did?
Yeah. Crying. I was crying too and putting away my bobblehead. Like, what? I actually tried.
Right. And I brought my personality into this a little bit. How sad is that?
Well, and here's the thing. Firing's always bad, but I feel as though that was a decent firing in that someone looked me in the eye, someone fucking told me a lie, and I appreciated that, and I was like, cool. Sarah Silverman got fired from SNL via fax.
Well, I got fired via email.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
A lot of people are making a lot of that, and I think the reason to not fire someone by email is because... because there's no way that's not going to come back to bite you in the ass of like, you'd fire her by email. Like, what were you thinking? Like, it's sort of like the same reason you don't break up with someone by email, because you're handing them a thing to be like, and can you believe that? You know? But not handing me, but just the universe.
Yes.
Like, the universe doesn't look kindly on that. That being said, I don't know how much I personally really care about that aspect of it. I think it's more the tenor of how it all happened and what the email said, and just the lack of, I would have liked some kind of back and forth and some kind of greater understanding of why the decision was made. You know, it wasn't an email that's like, you know, you can call me if you have questions. It was like, this is it. We're done. We're done.
Adios.
Have a nice life. I don't know.
But how did you feel? So what does one do when you get an email like that? Like, what?
It was the last day we were in New York and we had a late flight. So we were in Central Park killing time. And I checked my email, got the email. The subject line was 2015. I thought it was going to be like, here's, you know, just some things for the next year, right. Which it was.
New coffee mugs.
Yeah. But it was, but it was that he's revamping the show and not having me back. And I said, whoa. And then I said, Daniel, look. And I showed him and I sat down and like my legs felt a little noodly. Like I felt a little woozy. It was just so like the air had been sucked out of the room. Just this, because I'd been doing it for 4 years. So it was the reality that I knew.
This is your daytime. The yes. Family, you spend 40 plus hours a week. You travel together.
Right.
You...
And we had just traveled a lot together. I mean, it was like it's kind of like my identity. Have you done the topic of identity? That would be another one.
No, but yeah.
But it was like my identity for, you know, Alison Rosen from the Adam Carolla show for 4 years. So that was weird. But also this feeling of, I will be okay. Like that was there. It wasn't this like, no, don't do this to me. I didn't feel like I need this. I think that if I had gotten fired a few months in, I would have felt like you're yanking away from me this thing that I really wanted to hang on to, that I needed. I didn't feel like I needed it. that was kind of the saving grace. I liked it. I wanted it, but I didn't feel like I needed it. So I didn't feel like my survival was being yanked away from me. I just felt like, huh, I can't believe he made that decision. What could it have been? And then I started thinking of all the things it could have been. Was it this? Was it, I mean, the first thing I thought is, was it because I've been sad? I was in mourning. Did that make me not perform well? Hmm. I don't think that's the case, though. I had been feeling like I hadn't been in there as much on the shows, like I'd been quieter, and I was trying, you know, near the end, I was trying to fix that because I felt like I owe it to the show to be more engaged. And I don't know. I thought that maybe it was the morning that was causing me to be a little less engaged. I don't think it was that. I think in retrospect, the decision had been made a while before I received it. And I think that that's probably what I was picking up on. Mm. That makes more sense to me because it's like, I've been doing it for 4 years. I'm a professional. I can have a good show regardless of, you know, like I remember my grandmother died and I went on TV that night and I was really good. You know, I actually, when shit's bad in my life, performing is always an outlet for me. I like the escape of it. So I know that I'm capable of shutting that stuff in my personal life off. So I don't think it was that. I think it was that the dynamic had already shifted for me there and I was picking up on it. But you know, that occurred to me, these, you know, was it like that? You know, I accidentally shit on his point at that live show. Was it that? Was it that? But it's like, I don't think it was any of those one. I don't think it was any one thing like that. I don't know what it was.
I know. And it's like, you can't just go, hey, what was it?
Well, I thought of doing that. I thought of asking for more clarification. But then I don't know that I could actually ever get it. And trying to get it would have been too painful, I think.
Yeah. Because that's a thing. And that's a thing with, like, breakups or any form of rejection, is you're just like, just tell me why.
Yeah.
What did I do and what? How did it happen? Tell me the chain of events.
Right. When did you make up? That was the main, one of the main questions. But it's funny, as I sit here now, I don't care.
Right.
Like, this feels like the past, even though it just happened 2 weeks ago, or not even 2 weeks ago. But at the time, one of the main questions was, and I think in a breakup, this is always a main question too. Like, when did you know? When did you make up your mind?
About our relationship.
Yes.
About my life.
How long have you been lying to me? That's kind of where it goes. Like, well, how long have you been lying to me? And the lie is pretending everything's fine, acting like we're okay.
Yeah. God. I think you're right. That duplicitousness of, yeah, but bro, we do this thing every day together and you knew how long ago did you want to get rid of me? And we've been acting as if everything's fine.
And to the degree that I thought everything was. But
it's the worst.
Yeah.
I do think being fired is one of the hardest human. It's the hardest. It was one of the hardest things for me to deal with. It really was just devastating.
If you had been there, God, like I had for years, though, do you think it would have been different?
Worse. Because I worked, so I was at Chelsea on the Roundtable for a year, and then Jen Kirkman left, and then I replaced Jen Kirkman. I only lasted for a month and change as a writer. So I was in the inner circle of that show for really only a month and change. But it was enough where I was starting to get comfortable with them, and they were starting to accept me, I felt like, and then to have that thing drop. So if I had been in that family, quote unquote, and then had that shit happen, dude, I'd be way more. Because it's like, you guys are my, you know how it is. Your work family is like a surrogate family. It's just weird to have that.
Yes. There, and there is that emptiness. I do feel that, like, emptiness of, I miss all these people that I used to see every day. Everyone has reached out to, not everyone, but almost everyone has reached out to me and been, you know, and I've seen a lot of them since. And so it has, it's not like I will never see them again, or I'm totally cut off or anything like that, but it is weird. They, you know, they were my everyday people that I saw and hung out with.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, dude. It's the fucking shittiest thing. Well, I have some quotes on it. Do you want to hear some?
Yes, please.
Oh, good. Oh, I also think that it's embarrassing to get fired. I do remember feeling...
I'm surprised that I'm using the term fired, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Should we not?
No. That's not... No, we should. But oh. I'm just speaking to that embarrassing thing because the first few emails I sent about it were, I've parted ways with Adam Carolla. Adam
Which
Carolla
is smart.
And I have parted ways. Like that was how... Well, until he talked about it on his show and now it's like every... It's so public that it... I could refer to it as parted ways. And so I think, you know, actually in emails, I still do. But just in chatting about it, it's like I may as well just say it because that's the story. Dude, you fired her by email. What were you thinking? That's what the tweets say.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's
so I'm
truth.
Like kind of, I'm okay with saying it. But it isn't, there isn't a level of embarrassment about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. And for a while, I was embarrassed about getting fired from Chelsea. And I recently had like a general meeting at a network. And they know what happened. Okay. And so I told this executive, he goes, so you were with Chelsea. What happened? I go, oh, I got fired. She fired me. And he goes, you know what? Thanks for being honest, because a lot of people come in here and they're, and I know, we all know what happened.
How do they all know? Does everyone, well, is there a central computer?
because for one thing,
like
it's showbiz and people know personalities and they know what she's like. They know what he's like, blah, blah, blee, blope.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody knows everything.
Right.
Okay. There's no secrets about that shit. And so what? It's not a blemish.
Well, that's the
Who
thing.
Who cares?
That's kind of what's better, I think, for us than people who get fired from their job at an accounting firm is that
yes.
people know that she and that he are these like fiery personalities.
Yes.
So it's not hard to wrap your brain around the idea that they could have just made the decision to get rid of you, and that's not a comment on your talent.
No.
Or your ability to be worked with.
No. And I will say, that thing about hindsight is that the places I was fired from where it made sense years and years and years later, it still makes sense. Now, I do believe that if you're fired wrongly or you're let go or something didn't happen for you, it'll get corrected later.
What does that mean?
Meaning, I got fired as a writer on the show from Deke Entertainment, now defunct. DIC was a company. I created a show called Trolls with a Z. And I was the head writer on that show. I was 28 years old. And I handed in the pilot. I had worked a year on it. And I got fired. I got fired as a writer of my own show.
Trolls?
Of Trolls with a Z. And I was devastated. And
who fired you?
The head of Deke.
Wow.
And I was devastated. And I felt, well, that was a weird injustice because they knew what I was creating. I didn't keep it a secret. And then what happened is a year later, they hired some old fucking white guys with pagers, dad boners, writing for teenage girls, and they couldn't do it. And they rehired me to correct all the storyboards and correct story and dialogue. So
was it this? Did they come crawling back?
Yes.
Or?
And it was fantastic. And I made a lot of money and I got to go back to the thing that was rightfully mine. So I do believe that when you are let go wrongly, the universe or whatever corrects
that's
that.
Interesting.
Which
did
is
you
why,
debate not going back?
No, because I knew what would make it right, and that's money. You pay me, and I'll fix your dumb show.
Yeah,
and they did. And with you, Miss Rosen,
did they say that they fucked up?
No,
they
you don't
do.
Get that.
Yeah, no.
They know you just get the offer for this great thing, and then you know,
right?
But you, Miss Rosen, is you're in a wonderful position where you have a highly successful podcast on your own. You have a wonderful fan base, people that adore you, people that love you. This is gonna be the beginning of a whole new era for you. It's going to be awesome.
That's been one of the weird upsides to this. It's sort of like being able to attend your own funeral and find out what everyone thinks of you. It's really crazy.
The yeah.
level of support I've received has been just, I can't even keep up with all of it. Like I try to read all the tweets, but I can't.
Yeah.
And you know, the, like I, there's like a bazillion Facebook messages that I haven't been, you know, it's just, I can't, though, it's just coming in so fast and I appreciate it so much. It makes me feel so good. So thank you everyone for your outpouring of support.
Of course, you deserve it, dude. Okay, let's see. We don't,
Oh, you were going to read some quotes.
Well, yeah. And I was just thinking, I mean, here's one. I just love this from Oprah, Queen Oprah, my favorite human being. I don't want anyone who doesn't want me. Love this. Rejection, though it could make the loss of someone you weren't even that crazy about feel gut-wrenching and world-ending. That's about romantic. What we're talking about, Deb Colletti, The Secret Life of Prince Charming, that was hers.
I fought for relationships that I knew I didn't want to be in just because I didn't want to be rejected.
I know.
It was just too painful.
It's so funny, right? Even now, there's this album that I was supposed to have released a million months ago, and I'm afraid of releasing. I'm going to do it now, finally, in the coming weeks here. It's in the end stages, but yeah, I'm afraid of criticism. And then you go, wait, what? You're afraid of what some people on Twitter are going to say about you? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Well, that's the thing. Fear of rejection. No, I totally get it, though. But you shouldn't let that stop you.
No,
fear of rejection can make you afraid to put yourself out there. And if you're an entertainer or an artist or whatever we are, that's one of the things you have to really keep in check is don't let it make you smaller. Don't let it make you more quiet or meek. Don't let it make you meek. Like, to me, like, I think, you know, my heroes are people who are willing to put shit out there that's completely polarizing. Mm. You know, like Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Mm.
I think the fact that they can do what they do, and I don't know how much all the hate gets to them, but, you know, something like Book of Mormon would never have been created by someone who's afraid of tweets.
Yeah, of course. And even someone, it's funny, like Dane Cook, who I was a huge fan of his stuff when he started. I love Retaliation. I love Dane Cook's first shit. That guy got so much hate. And you're like, wait a minute.
Everyone gets
why?
It.
Why? Yeah, like, why? He was your hero an hour ago, and now you guys are shitting on Dane Cook? And to see him persevere, you're like, yes, motherfucker, yes. This is my favorite. I like this quote. Hold on. Every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. Steve Maraboli, Unapologetically You. I don't know.
Oh, I like that. I don't know who that is, but I like that quote.
But I do feel like for you that there are no mistakes when it comes to shit like this. I do think, and I know on some level at Chelsea, I didn't like being there. Every day I got in my car and I cried. I didn't fit into that culture. And first of all, let me say that I have every ounce of respect for Chelsea Handler and her success and what she does really fucking well, man. Every day that studio is full of fans. She's fantastic at what she does. This is not disparaging against Chelsea Handler. I have utmost respect. But it wasn't my gig. I was trying to fit my foot into the shoe. I was one of Cinderella's stepsisters trying to make my personality fit that gig.
Yes.
Didn't work.
I think that that's true of Adam and me as well. I mean, I think that he and I, it's true. We were never the perfect fit. We are very different fundamentally in terms of, you know, he believes that the world needs more shaming and more judgment to get everyone to get their shit together. I'm much more of a like, the world, let's not, you know, I don't believe we should be judging each other. Like, I'm much more of a like, come here, let me hug you. You're going to be okay. We're all okay as these weird, misshapen individual creatures who are all just trying to, you know, we're all on the same journey or separate journeys, but we're all going the same place or some bullshit mantra like that.
Right.
You get what I'm saying, though?
He's tough love.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And I'm the inverse of that.
He's the abusive parent. He's my mom. Yeah. And then and there's everyone else.
But, you know, he's motivating and inspiring for people who need that message.
And absolutely fantastic at what he does.
Yes.
And he's super funny. And I like listening to him.
I don't, I've never worked with anyone who can just be hilarious on any topic like that. You can put him on the spot. He thrives when he's put on the spot. I had learned, you know, in other sort of sidekick positions, don't set someone up to fail.
Yeah.
You know, don't just ask a question where it's going to be hard for them to come up with something out of thin air. Like, he likes those situations. He's the best when in fact, if I ever find myself in this position again with someone else, I'm going to have to like kind of unlearn a lot of things I learned with him, because the way that he works best is not going to be the way someone else works best. But anyway, that was not what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say was, yeah, it was never a perfect fit. But I think that tension between us is what the fans, I mean, not that it was tension like he said, she said, with Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth, what's her name, which was one of my favorite movies. Right. Not that kind of like, you're going to watch us bicker on air. It wasn't like that. But there was this sort of like tension at the heart of it, because I think people knew that I have a different take on, you know, we see the world very differently.
Yeah.
But people liked that. But I can get that maybe he didn't like that.
Yeah.
That's not what he wanted. He probably wants a more singular voice, his own voice.
Who knows, dude? And, you know, you may never know, which is the most fucking maddening part.
Yeah.
Is that you'll never really know. But I do believe that this is the absolute truth of it. You're guided there for a reason. And then this is the opportunity to pick up and move into a new direction. It's almost like, I don't know. I do believe in everything I've been fired from more or less has been right. Looking back, I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't have been there.
Yeah. I think this was right. Too soon to know for sure, but I do think that's the case.
Yeah.
And 4 years in this business, 4 years in one job is a long time.
It's an eternity. Nothing lasts that long. No. Marriages don't last that long in our business, let alone show business.
Right. Let alone a gig. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, sorry. I started doing when I got fired from Chelsea is I picked up coloring. I went to Michael's Arts and Crafts and I would start doing like paint by number sets. And like, that's when I started crafting hardcore.
My sister finds that very therapeutic. She's very into that. She can do amazing shit with popsicle sticks and whatnot. Maybe I should get into that.
Yeah, there you go. Here's a neat one. I know that when a door closes, it can feel like all doors are closing. A rejection letter can feel like everyone will reject us, but a closed door leads to clarity. It's really an arrow. Because we cannot go through the door, we will go somewhere else. And that somewhere else is your true life. This is Tama J. Keeves. I like that one.
I do too. But I think that for someone who's sort of a control freak, getting that door shut is like, I want to open it. Like, let me in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I read this interesting thing by a friend of mine who wrote about having applied for a job that to her was like the dream job. It was an editorial job. I don't know what magazine or publication it was at, but I have a hunch which one it was. And she wrote this piece about being really excited about the job and feeling like she, you know, really had a shot, thinking she was going to get it, and then not getting it. And all, you know, the things people would say about like, oh, it wasn't right for you. It must not have been right for you anyway, and all this stuff. But the feeling of like, no, but it really was. It really was filled with great people, and I really want, and it was really, she really canvassed the topic well. I should have sent it to you or brought it in. I didn't even think about it. But yeah, I mean, occasionally you do get rejected from something. But that's not the case for me with this job. Like, I do think this was the right move. But sometimes there is the perfect thing that does reject you. And then by definition, it wasn't the perfect thing. But for a long time, you hang on to the idea that it was.
Oh, my God. Yes. Almost definitely. I remember when I wanted to get into law school, I thought that I was going to be a lawyer. And I didn't get into a lot of them. I only got into one. And I remember being like, but this is certainly the thing. I must be a lawyer. This is what. No.
Yeah.
It's only with time. It's only in hindsight, you'll see.
And
when I
think about the most painful romantic rejections, it was the ones where I was never told the truth.
Yeah.
You know, to go back to that thing that we're talking about. But not even not being told the truth, but just not the ones where the person acted in like a very incoherent, shady kind of manner. Like they just, you know, just the fade away or just not calling you. And then you find out they're seeing someone else and you're like, I was waiting for you to call me. Like for the past month, I thought we were still in this, but we weren't. I'm obviously not talking about committed relationships.
No,
I'm talking
about
when you're dating someone, but just that the confusion makes it more painful because you're like, I was deluding myself. I hate that feeling that, oh, wow, I was deluding myself. I thought this was going on and it wasn't for you.
It's the worst. It is the worst. Yeah, the delusion. Yeah. Absolutely the one-sidedness of something like that. Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm like going through. I'm simultaneously trapped in the feeling of being fired as I'm trying to like intellectually talk about it. And it's really hard for me because I... Oh boy, there is nothing like that one. I don't know what I was going to say.
If you were to Have you seen her? Have you seen her since?
Mm-mm. Like, yeah. So here's the best part. So I got fired as a writer, and then they go, well, we're going to have you on the round table. And I had decided to drive to Vegas to be with my husband because he was doing gigs. You know, I got fired. What else was I going to do? I was going to go to Vegas and hang out with my husband.
I think that's the first thought. Like, oh, wow, my relationship will really benefit from this. It's going to get oodles of me now.
Yeah, fantastic.
Right.
So I drove to Vegas. And then I get to Vegas and I get an email from the booker saying, hey, she wants you to come back on the show tomorrow. Or I'm sorry, or 2 days from now. I think you should do it. You know, and I go, you know what? I think I should too, just to show them that, like,
no hard feelings.
They didn't get me, man. You didn't get me. Fuck you. I'm still here and I'll do it. And I did it and it was great. And then I got another email saying, yeah, they don't want you back on the round table again. And I go, why? Well, you know how she is. That was the reason. And I go, all right, well, that's the end of that. But that is confusing. It's very confusing when you don't know. Truth I can handle. I can always handle reality. Yeah. It's the vagueness and the out of control stuff that is what crushes
right.
people.
And the illusion that if you just think about it in the right way, you'll be able to figure out the truth.
Yeah.
Because that's what always gets me. You know, if I were just like, oh, I'll never know. But that's not how I
can't
I am.
Do that.
No.
Yeah.
Who I'm can like, do I got that? It. I don't know.
I'll never know. Oh, well. La, la, la. I still love myself. What?
Well, so did that kind reopen the wound? Like when you got that?
Yeah. Then that was part two of this firing. Like, motherfucker, just rip the Band-Aid off. Just stab me in the chest and let me go, you know, heal somewhere else. Don't draw this crap out.
How long after the firing did you get that email saying they weren't having you back on the round table?
Oh, right after I did the round table. So it was like the next day when I was like, hey, I'm just sending in my availability for the next. I know. But I, you know, whatever. I'm fine now, obviously. But
are you happy that you got that last show, or do you wish you'd never even gone back?
Oh, I don't even think about it. I haven't even considered that question. No, I'm glad I did it because it took a lot of strength. It took everything in me to be able to do that again. And I will say what I learned from that firing is that on some level, I obviously I wasn't happy there. And she knew it. Everybody knows everything unconsciously. I do believe that.
I believe that too.
Yeah. And I didn't want to write for the queen bee. I wanted to be the queen bee. And I think she knew that. I think that's what I was giving off is that fuck you. I'm funnier here. I know that. And I know it was my attitude. And I got fired, and you know what? I became a headliner right after. I was like, well, great. Now I've got this credit. I'm going to hit the clubs. I'm going to become the best comic in the fucking world, man. And it got me really focused. What that quote was saying, leads to clarity. It's really an arrow because we cannot go through that door. We will go somewhere else. It becomes an arrow into the direction you secretly want to go into. And that's what that is. On some level, you knew it. You knew it was coming at some level. Oh, you got to get out.
Do you think, hi, Theo. Oh, it's so cute.
Hi,
do you think that you were like unconsciously, subconsciously giving off the vibe?
Yeah.
But it wasn't at all overt.
It came, I'm not really good at concealing my emotions. I don't know if you know
either.
This about me. Everybody knows what's going on with me because my face, I can't lie. My husband makes fun of me all the time.
I don't have a poker face. Oh my God, we're the same. I guess that hadn't occurred to me that much, how much that I might have been doing that too.
No way, dude. No way. Like, and I do believe everybody knows everything unconsciously. There's a, they know, everybody knows. What's happening, and that's okay.
Yeah, you do feel other people's energy.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, because you know, you and I are too old to not be who we are.
Yeah,
every time I have a birthday, which feels like they come faster and faster.
Yeah,
my thought is like, I'm too old to be insecure, or I'm too old to care that much about what people think. I'm too old to not just be who I am.
Yeah. Because it's exhausting to do the opposite,
right.
To be in your 20s again and worry about, oh my God, am I doing this right? Is everything? It's fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Like what I've learned doing this show is just let it rip, man. Like,
totally.
Just don't even, don't think about what you said. Yeah. Don't worry about the shame or the guilt of the hangover. What is it? The oversharing hangover. Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Everybody's the same. We're all the same.
That's
all go through stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Well, Allison, is there anything else you want to get off your chest? I mean, this is we're heading the end here.
Just that I had the best time.
Oh.
And I'm so glad. It's been a little while since I've seen you, and I've missed you, so it's good to catch up.
Missed you too, man.
On air and off. Hmm. I'm trying to think if there's any sort of like positive sort of spin that I want to share with people.
Well, where can people, that too, and also where can people find you? Has it changed because of
Actually, still Allison Rosen. So Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend comes out twice a week at this point, hopefully with more frequency now that I have so much time to devote to it.
Yes.
So that's Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend on iTunes or AllisonRosen.com. And then my Twitter is Allison Rosen. My brain is going in so many directions at once. Find me on Twitter at Allison Rosen. Also on Instagram at Allison Rosen. Yeah.
So, sorry. But final thoughts.
I was trying to like come up with some sort of, you know, if you're out there. Well, I think what I said before about the idea that, because I think I probably am speaking more, I would want to be speaking more to people who are dealing with rejection romantically, because that's the one that like cuts to the core.
Fuck.
More than, well, it just depends. But those were the ones that I always found to be the most painful. That kind of rejection is that it really is about them, not you. It's about what they need to be with or want to be with. And you can be a perfectly wonderful, healthy, stable person. Or maybe you're, you know, a fuck up. I don't know. But it's not a referendum on you. There's someone else out there for you.
Oh, I firmly believe that, by the way. I believe that there is someone with the perfect wiring that you guys are going to match up with.
Yes.
Yeah. And that person's doing you a favor by rejecting you.
Totally.
Whether it be in career or in love, all rejection is doing you a favor.
Yes.
It's that person spitting you out before you hang out long enough to you make the decision to spit them out. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like they just did the hard work for you. Yeah. I think it's such a blessing
it
in
really
the skies.
Is. It totally is. I agree with
in
that.
In disguise. No, in disguise. Yeah, I think it's, I do, and I know, and it sucks when it happens to you because people say this shit to you, and when it's fresh, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, I remember when I got fired and people would tell me that shit, and I was like, go fuck yourself. You don't know how I feel. I'm daytime drinking right now. Like, I was drinking Chardonnay during the daytime. But here's the thing. The day I got fired from Chelsea, I went over to my friend Jenny Pentland's house. They're a show business family. And I went over there. They poured me a glass of wine. And then they go, oh, you got fired? Congratulations. You're officially in show business. It's your first show business firing. And I was like, you're right. And you're not in show business until you've had a show business firing, Allison Rosen.
Well, welcome me.
Welcome to the club. It fucking sucks. And it's going to make you... I believe it's going to make you stronger. This is 2015 is your year, and your show is awesome. You're an awesome human being, and I'm so excited to see what you're going to do with this, man. I think it's going to be really good for you.
Thank you. I do too.
I love you.
I love you too.
Aww. And you know what that is?
What?
That's deep, bro. Thanks for being here, Allison.
Thank you.
Now what? I don't know. Philosophize with.
Yeah, it's Christina P, aka Miss Jeans. This ain't your mom's house, it's a different theme. Gotta be critically thinking. Like you caught up at a cocktail party, our thoughts start to sinking. John Locke, or was it Socrates? Aristotle or Plato, maybe Hippocrates. Got us talking all properly, topically. Just a comedian discussing these philosophies. Serious questions, silly people. What's that? What's that? That's deep, bro.
It is the ultimate metaphor for life. And you know what that is?
What?
That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro.